Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STANS, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
You want to pray?
Yeah. Sorry. Let me lead in prayer first, then I'll bring Bishop Jackson on. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We're live here at the pastor's boot camp, and we're just grateful for all the input that we've had so far. Grateful for every one of these pastors and their wives. Grateful for the work that you're doing in their lives and in their congregations. We thank you for this country. We thank you for the United States of America and all that we're learning about its freedoms and the founding and what this country is really all about. So we're just overwhelmed by your great grace in establishing this country and keeping it. As Benjamin Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it, and we are committed to keeping it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you this, not just this call, but we give you this country, and we ask you to continue to bless it as we continue to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Marlon?
Yeah.
I'm not hearing.
Can you hear me?
No.
Okay, let me. Can they hear you?
Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Now we can, yes.
Hello?
Sir.
Oh, okay. Can everybody hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Can everybody hear me? Oh, okay. Okay, all right, good. Sorry about that. But what, nobody could hear me on my phone? Was that it? Vanity, talk to me. Was nobody able to hear me on my telephone?
We couldn't hear you until just now, no, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. Okay, everybody. Well, we're at Liberty Pastors Boot Camp here in Kings Mill. We got at least a couple hundred people here, I would say, maybe more. Pastors from all across the Commonwealth of Virginia who have gathered together here to talk about the future of our country and, of course, the future of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And they have got some really wonderful speakers here today to encourage these pastors. This is a group of pastors and their wives who are gathered here together because we know that while the country is moving in the right direction under the leadership of President Trump, the Commonwealth of Virginia is not. Well, I wanted to have you all hear from some of the guest speakers and some of the people who are here so that you get a sense of what this conference is like. They can tell you why they're here and what they're going to be talking about, because we're going to be following up with all of you over the upcoming election. November 4th is a big day. So the first person who is here to speak to you is a dear friend of mine, Kevin Freeman. He is an economist, and he's written several best-selling books, and you all have heard him before on this call. So rather than giving him a long introduction, I'll just turn it over to him and have him speak to for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll go to our next guest. Kevin, welcome to the National Awakening Coalition conference call here at the Liberty Conference.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson. It's good to be here. I'll be talking about China here and how China is a Marxist nation that they would bide their time until they realized they would be strong enough to take America down. And that was after Mao failed miserably. And when Mao failed, tens of millions died either through starvation or through their cultural revolution, where they just eliminated anyone who believed in God or did anything against the state. And then Chairman Deng came in, and his whole purpose was, we're going to hide ourselves and bide our time. There's this official phrase on that. And they decided that under, from starting in the late 70s until just recently, they would pretend to be an ally and a friend and a financier of the United States and supporter of what we were doing. And recently they've come up with a people's war, and the people's war is what we're in now, and we're fighting that. So it's all economic warfare, and it's all Marxism, and it's all Antichrist. And so those are the kinds of things that we'll be talking about here at the Liberty Pastors Conference. It's great to see Bishop Jackson here and so many personal heroes, and you'll be hearing from several of them, I'm sure, today. But the point is that we're in an economic war. It's really a spiritual war, and it's manifesting itself as economics. And President Trump is fortunately taking that war on head on with trade policies and with rooting out the spying and rooting out the Chinese influence here in America. So in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, our purpose here is to bring truth to light to the American people, and so we can reject Marxism, which is an evil stain from Satan himself. And China has been perpetrating it. The Chinese people are wonderful. We pray for them, but their system is miserable, and they're trying to enslave the world under satanic domination. So that's what I'm here for, Bishop.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for taking time. Look, just say a word to the people of the Commonwealth of Virginia who are on the call and are here at this conference. Virginia's facing a very, very difficult moment right now. The politics are very tough. We've got a nominee for lieutenant governor that a lot of people are unhappy with. People are concerned that the campaign just doesn't seem to be taking off, having the momentum, but we've got to win on November 4th. So just a word of encouragement to the folks who are fighting to make sure that we don't lose the Commonwealth.
Well, we can pray for Virginia. It's such an essential part of our nation. I mean, when you come to Colonial Williamsburg and you see the birthing of America here in this place, you realize that Satan tries to steal ground wherever he can. It's just like radical Islam, just like Marxism. And there's a red, green, blue axis that is fighting against Virginia. The red is the communist, the green is the Islamist, and the blue is the globalist. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. That applies as much today as it did to ancient Israel. And I believe by faith that this can turn around by the election time, that the polling I would disregard, and I would stand firm in the faith, proclaim the gospel from every church and from every schoolhouse and every place that you can. This is a winnable battle if we turn to God. We cannot do it without him, but we absolutely can conquer and be victorious with him. And so my encouragement is trust in God and go forth.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin. God bless you. Good to see you here. Folks, this is an exciting conference. It gives a lot of hope. It gives a lot of hope to the people of Virginia that we have not lost this battle. We've also got here Jackie Andrews. She has been a fixture in Virginia politics for many, many years, run for Congress, worked for the Virginia Family Foundation. She is now a staff member at Turning Point Faith, Turning Point USA Faith. Jackie, thanks for taking a few moments. You're a fixture here in Virginia. Why are you at the conference? And what do you need to say to people of Virginia, to these pastors and the people of Virginia?
Well, thank you so much, Bishop Jackson. You're right. Virginia is at the precipice of deciding. We're at the crossroads, and we have to decide what kind of commonwealth we're going to have. Are we going to have a flourishing commonwealth that respects and honors the sanctity of human life, all life, pre-born and already born, all the moments, from conception till natural death? Or are we going to now sign a covenant through our Constitution to say we welcome all the bloodshed, unfettered, violence against the innocent all throughout life? Because make no mistake about it, this is what we're actually up against. This is what we are making the decision on, whether we're going to say, we don't want what God has to offer and what God has suggested, what God has asked us or told us, advised us, literally advised us to choose. He said, choose life. But in Virginia, we're making that decision. Are we going to say, okay, God is wise and he's our wise and wonderful counselor and we're going to take that path? Or we're going to say, well, it's okay, we'll just destroy one another, starting with the most innocent, and we will sign on the dotted line on our Constitution and make it a part of every fabric, every fiber of who we are as a people. And that is the question up for every pastor, for every believer. And the reality is silence is not an option, because silence is consent. And that's why I'm here.
Jackie.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I want to get to an issue that you as a Virginian, you as somebody who's been around here a long time, I want you to be able to respond to. Paul Blair, see if Paul Blair can do it next. A lot of people are saying, I'm not going to vote at all. A lot of people are saying, mm-hmm. I'm not going to vote at all because I don't like the lieutenant governor candidate. I'm unhappy about this whole thing. I'm staying home. Speak to the people who are taking that attitude. I mean, I think there's a big issue whether you can vote for this Republican nominee. But to me, why should you stay home and not vote at all? Are you hearing any of that?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of chatter with that. And my concern with that is that we're missing the whole picture. We're really missing the big picture. And by staying home, again, that's part of the silence. We have the opportunity. This is how our government is set up in America, and we have a responsibility to show up. Now, if you show up and you say, well, my conscience does not allow me to vote for such and such person, that's between you and God. However, refusing simply to vote because you don't like one person who is on the platform is a disservice, one, to the other people that you claim that you're okay with, and second, to the people of Virginia and to the to the people who will be destroyed as a result. First of all, when it comes to the lieutenant governor race, we have the choice between, yes, an openly homosexual person who agrees with you 80 to 90% on the issues with you, including the issue of life, and he's going against. We either have him or we have a radical jihadist who does not agree with you on anything,
mm-hmm.
not life, not your very life, that you're already walking on this earth, and not on the Constitution. An Islamist jihadist, their ideology is incompatible with the United States Constitution, let alone the Virginia Constitution. So it's up to us. We have to decide what
Amen.
We are going to do in this moment.
Jackie, thank you so much for taking time out. I think you are spot on this, and we appreciate all that you are doing here in Virginia with Turning Point USA. You're working with them now, but you've been on the battlefield here for a long time, and we really appreciate the work and encourage you. Keep going. We're going to win by the grace of God on November 4th. I don't care what anybody says. So
Amen to that.
Thank you, Jackie. Appreciate
Amen.
Your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop. Right. Thank you, everybody.
Well, folks, we've also got with us right now the chairman, the founder of Liberty Pastors, the one who is in charge of this entire conference. Pastor Paul Blair, Pastor Paul, man, what can I say? I am just overwhelmed by what you've been able to do here in Virginia. I know you're not from Virginia, but thank you for bringing this to Virginia because, brother, we need it. So just say what's on your heart right now while you're here.
Well, Amy, it is always a joy to work together with you, and we thank you for the invitation to Virginia. And as you said, we're just trying to light some fires of liberty in the church in different states across the country and help strengthen those ministries that are already within those states. And sadly, as you know, many of us as pastors were taught to compartmentalize our lives. We would have pastors that would say, well, Jesus is Lord of everything, but I can't talk about certain subjects in church. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus is the Lord of all, and we can address everything from a biblical point of view, or he's not the Lord of all. That's easy to understand when we present it that way, and we just see remarkable situations where pastors come away from our camps radically transformed in how they approach ministry. I've had more and more men come and say, you've changed our ministry, you've changed what we do as a church, and literally making remarkable turnarounds and differences in different communities across the country. And, of course, one of the other things, once pastors learn that they are to address every issue from a biblical perspective, then we teach them some fundamental truths, what the Bible does say about civil government and what the Bible does say about economics. And then, of course, speakers like yourself and others acquaint them with some of the issues that we face in our day. And then on our final day, we give them actual next steps. When you go home, do this. And, of course, we have seen remarkable stories across the country of pastors now either serving in office themselves or members of their congregation serving in office. We've seen counties turn around. We've seen states turn around. It has really been a remarkable work. And as we discussed earlier, you know, we've been given a reprieve with President Trump. But that's not going to stick unless the church awakens. And if we want to truly end abortion and stop socialism and stop the gender mutilization of our children, Fox News is not going to lead that charge. The Republican Party is not going to lead that charge. It's us. It's the body of Christ that's going to have to lead on these moral issues. Pastors always have led, and we need to once again.
You know, Paul, I consider myself to be relatively well-informed on these issues, but I've come to this conference and I learned things, you know, that I didn't know before. And it really is encouraging. You know, it just makes you want to, you hunger for more. You say, man, I didn't know that. But speak to this issue, the historic issue that you just mentioned. Well, that's politics. And I mean, you pointed out in your talk, if pastors had taken that position, we probably wouldn't have a country.
Right. Well, especially in the United States of America, when you look at what motivated the pilgrims to come here in the first place, that was really largely just a church relocating to New England. And then you had the Puritan migration that followed. And that whole New England culture was birthed differently. When you think about human history, for 6,000 years, the primary form of human government is a tyranny, a strong man ruling over everybody else. Either he can beat everybody else up and they have to submit, or he is the best protector for the tribe, so they submit. But in America, when the pilgrims got blown off course, their charter was of no value because they weren't on the king's property. So they were actually in a state of anarchy. They decided that they would craft their civil government after the design of their church government. As separatists, rather than being ruled from the archbishop down in parishes, they came together as individual congregations and constituted local New Testament churches and elected their own pastor, elected their own deacons. That was the model. It was the first time ever used in the Mayflower Compact in all of New England, which includes Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, New York. The New England states were all birthed after the Puritan style of church government. So American exceptionalism, the reason we have been exceptional is because of that foundation, the Christian morality that we were based on, and the form of government, which turned out to be a constitutional republic. So we are, in fact, unique. And it was the body of Christ that made the difference. And, of course, leading up to our Declaration of Independence, those pastors were the most well-informed, well-educated men in any community. And they were well aware of what was going on. And they recognized that tyranny was creeping back in. And it was those guys that stirred their congregations, not only to salvation, but also to biblical principles of free government. And it was the Black Robe Regiment, as they were called, because all pastors in that day wore black clerical robes, so they're easy to identify. But they were considered public enemy number one by the King of England, because it was the pastors that stirred the hearts of the colonists to say, enough. We are not going to allow you to crush us under the boot of tyranny. In fact, the first shots of our independence in Lexington were fired in a churchyard, the Church of Lexington. The 77 militiamen of Lexington were led by their pastor, Jonas Clark, and a deacon named John Brown. And they led and facing off against 700 British redcoats. So the first shots of liberty were actually fired by a church congregation in defense of our country.
So really, staying away from politics for pastors is breaking with American tradition, not fulfilling some kind of spiritual obligation. Man, thank you for your leadership on this, Paul. We in Virginia need you. I'm glad you're here. We're going to take off like a rocket from here, man, and try to make sure that we save Virginia. That's it. Amen. I don't want Virginia I don't want the state of George Washington to become the state of Karl Marx.
Well, you are my dear friend. It's a pleasure to be here. Well, if I can help in any way, I'm always a phone call away.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul. God bless you. Yeah, folks, this is an exciting conference, and there's a lot going on. You just heard from the leader and the person who put this together. We help support it and promote it and so forth. But praise God that it is happening right now. Yes, if we get him. Yeah. I think we're going to try to get Bob McHugh, and I'm sure all of you know Bob McHugh, and he just finished speaking, and oh, my goodness, that was a tour de force. It really was. Because he covered the spirituality, the economics, the politics, he really just covered the gamut. And one of the great speakers in our country for patriotism. He's a former Ohio congressman and a former Ohio state representative as well, and is now the executive director of the Council for National Policy, which is a major conservative Christian organization that has meetings in the country several times a year and brings Christians together from all across the spectrum. So we'll see if we can get him. But in the meantime, folks, look, let me just say this. I want to amplify just a bit while we're trying to get our next guest. We've got a major problem, and I want you all to pray for us. And the problem is we have nominated an open practicing homosexual as the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. And I was nominated for lieutenant governor now 13 years ago, I think. Yeah, 12 or 13 years ago. And now we have a Republican nominee for lieutenant governor who is a practicing homosexual who takes his homosexual lover with him on the campaign trail. And a lot of Christians are saying, I cannot vote for him. I understand that. I don't plan to vote for him. Okay, let's just be clear. However, the strong argument is being made, but look at the alternative. Okay, that's reasonable. Okay. No, not available. Joanne? Looks like Bob is not available, but we're going to see if we can get Joanne Reese. She's the head of Salt and Light. But look, folks, I understand that because I have that same conscience issue. However, I'm not going to stay home. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote for Winston Sears for governor. I'm going to vote for Jason Yaris for attorney general. And I'm going to encourage everybody I know to do the same. Now, there are some people who are going to vote for John Reed. Some of them are Christians. I know some of them. And look, that's between them and God, ultimately. I'm not going to condemn them for however they reason their way into that. I'm not there. But here's the thing. We may not be able to unite on that one, but we ought to all be able to unite on getting out to vote and to vote for the candidates that are on the ballot that we can in good conscience vote for. And there's, of course, did you see the article, Pastor Mom, did you see the email I got from the guy asking me to be a running candidate, a write-in candidate for lieutenant governor? You didn't see it? I thought I sent it to you, but I have no intention of doing that, but there's already a write-in candidate. Well, we've got Joanne Reese. Joanne Reese is the founder and head of Salt and Light. And she is here also at the conference. She came all the way from California to be here. Jan, you have done so much to serve the body of Christ and to serve our country. Why did you come all the way from California to be here in Virginia? And what does this conference mean to you?
Wow. Well, I came here because we're spending time with pastors who I absolutely love to spend my time with. I can't think of anything better I'd like to do in my life than to be around the men of God who are really, truly learning how to take care of this nation, their churches, families, their understanding. They're coming here to this conference to learn something that they may have known in their hearts, but we're putting it all together for them in a conference that's attempting to give them wisdom and understanding as to what a pastor's role is in our community and to take back that role now and forevermore. And it's stunning to see so many pastors have their eyes open to, you know, what's happening with truly with marriage, the role of pastors historically, and then the kind of pastors that you want to be. We want real men. We want real men in those pulpits that know how to fight the good fight for us women. And, you know, I have a ministry called, you know, very well, Bishop.
Salt and Light, yes.
Yeah, Salt and Light Council. And the goal of our ministry is to help the churches with the action items. Once they have this information, is then to put it into action by training someone in their church to lead a Salt and Light ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So they can start to know their elected officials, get involved in elections and in biblical worldview training, and start to have an activated church that goes out into the community to make a difference. We're seeing our country fall away, right? And even with President Trump in office, this reprieve we got, you know, Bishop,
exactly.
You know, this is not going to last forever. So.
You know we got a big problem in Virginia, and here, this is where you are right now, and you've confronted big problems all over the
right.
country.
Yes.
So speak to this issue, Jan. We've got a lot of Christians saying they're not going to vote because a open homosexual has been nominated for lieutenant governor. John Reed, who is open practicing homosexual, takes his homosexual lover with him to campaign, and a lot of Christians are saying, well, not only am I not going to vote for him, I'm not going to vote at all. I'm disgusted with this whole process. I think that's the wrong move. I think Salt and Light would say take a different approach to something like that. I mean, I understand the conscience issue of not voting for him, because I'm in that same position. I don't want to vote for him,
sure.
But not vote at all? What do you think?
Not voting at all is definitely a vote for evil. And it's our civic responsibility. That's why we're here. It is our role and our responsibility as Christians to be salt and light in the community. And part of that involves voting. And if we're not voting, then we are literally leaving a vacuum for anyone to fill that spot. And so this is what's happened in our country is we have 50% of the church that's not even registered to vote. And that's criminal, if you ask me. And that's why I love what I do with Salt and Light and in our adjunct ministry, biblicalvoter.com, which is to help churches do biblical voter registration, because it is biblical to register and biblical to vote. And it's essential that the church get out there and vote, or they're responsible for the evil that continues in our schools, this transgenderizing of our children, the abortion issue being passed the way it is in every state now that it got overturned. Now we're seeing a fight for that in every state.
You know, in Virginia, our governor vetoed over 300 bills because the legislature is controlled by Democrats. He had to veto over 300 bills to stop them from transforming Virginia into a California or Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So staying home to me is just not an option, Tran. So I hope all these pastors here will work with you and get activated and get their people activated and get them out to vote. And, you know, and get these Christians who aren't even registered to vote. I mean, how can you not be registered to vote and then not vote? So, and by the way, your website, give it again, because it is a great website.
Sure. It's, a simpler way of remembering it, even though it's Salt and Light Council, is Brave Salt. Like be brave, but bravesalt.com.
Bravesalt.com. Bravesalt.com.
Yes, we want people to get out there and start being brave. And when you get in there, you'll see a suite of ministries. You can pick and choose, but Salt and Light is the flagship. Then the voter tools with Biblical Voter are going to help you get a smorgasbord of voter guides for every state. In fact, here in Virginia, we have, I think, over 10 voter guides for your state that you can contrast and compare that are Christian and conservative to find the most likely candidate. So people have no excuse not to vote when we're literally handing voter guides to you on a silver platter. That's on biblicalvoter.com.
Well, Jan, you're doing yeoman service for the Lord and for our country. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking time out to speak.
God bless
you. Love you.
All right. Yeah, folks, Jan Reese is a powerhouse. She has been, again, at it for a long, long time. Folks, again, this is a tremendous conference. Wow. You know what? We've got Sandy Rios here with us as well. Sandy Rios. Sit down, Sandy. You can just... Okay. Say hello. Just say hello. Just talking to the phone.
Hello, everyone. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to our National Awakening Coalition conference call.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what a privilege. God bless each and every one of you. And I just hope that you could find the energy to be faithful to the end. That's my goal right now. Finish well.
Well, you've done that.
Well, I'm not finished yet.
but you've been faithful.
But thank you. Thank you, EW.
So thank you, Sam. I know you got to go do your podcast.
Yeah, I got to go sing, and then I got to do my podcast.
You got to go sing.
I'm going to go sing. I'm resurrecting my voice from the dead.
I know you're a singer, too, but I was shocked when you first told me that. Well, listen, yeah. God bless you. I know you are a patriot.
You're
on the front lines. And God bless you for all that you do.
You know, I love you.
I love you too. All right. God bless you, dear. Wow, folks. And we really do have a star lineup of conservative leaders. We got Father Frank Pavone here. I'm sure all of you know Father Frank Pavone. He has been a pro-life leader on the front lines for, sometimes I think longer than we'd like to.
The years go by, don't they?
But Father Pavone, you are here at this conference, this Liberty Pastors Conference. Tell us what you're getting out of it and what you think it ought to say to us here in Virginia as well as to people across the country.
This is an extremely important event. I've been at previous Liberty Pastors Conferences, and I'm privileged to come to help these pastors feel confident about addressing the issue of abortion. And it's an issue that's already come up in a number of the presentations. And we are the ones that need to be on the forefront of this issue, of course, because Jesus identifies himself as life multiple times in the gospel. The name he gives himself, I am the bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And when we see the enemy so targeted to take away human life at its most vulnerable phase in the womb, if we're not standing up, then nobody else can stand up. We're the ones that have to lead the way. Fortunately, pastors, I believe, are becoming more and more confident to lead the way. And those, especially most of the participants here, are from Virginia, and they're very much aware that the pro-abortion movement is trying to get abortion embedded into the Virginia Constitution. We're gonna stop that. We're gonna equip these pastors to stop that in its tracks. And I'm going to say to them, when I speak to them tomorrow, that these amendments, like they're trying to get in Virginia, that they did get in Ohio, Michigan, and various other states, are not a sign of the strength of the abortion movement. It's a sign of the weakness. It's a sign of the fear that the promoters of abortion have. And why do I say that? Because what they're doing is they're trying to put it in the Constitution. What that means, and they're even doing this in states that already have unlimited abortion, like they did in Colorado, and it shows, and New York as well, and it shows they're not just interested in a policy of unlimited abortion. They want to stop us, the people, from passing pro-life laws in the future, because that's what happens when you put it in the Constitution, right? Any future law has to abide by the Constitution. So they're afraid that we're going to do it. And we are going to do. We are going to pass more and more pro-life laws, as has happened all across the country. And that's what's got them scared. More and more abortion mills closing. And they said, we got to put a stop to this somehow. And that's why they're trying what they're trying. But, friends, it's going to fail. It's going to fail in Virginia and nationwide with the help of people like all of you and the pastors that are here. We're going to see more and more victories on the side of life. And Bishop Jackson, I'm grateful to you for helping to make that happen right alongside with all the rest of us.
Well, Father Pavone, people admire your courage and your wisdom because, we know you've been persecuted within the Catholic Church for the stand that you've taken for life. We've got a problem in Virginia where we've got John Reed has been nominated. He's an openly practicing homosexual. He's the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. And you have a lot of Christians, a lot of believers saying, well, I'm not going to vote at all. I'm disgusted by this whole process. I'm not going to vote at all. Speak to the issue of staying home in an election like this and what the consequences of that would be. What are the moral implications of that?
The duty that we have to vote is a duty that we're going to have to answer to God for about what we did. Now, the results are a separate topic. We want to see good results, and we always hope to see the possibility of reaching good results. But none of the bad options out there take away our duty to respond. It's almost like you can compare it to prayer itself. Let's say we're praying for the outcome of a situation where everything seems to be going in the wrong direction. Do we say, okay, this is what bad versus worse, so I'm not going to pray? We never hear people talk like that. Oh, I'm not going to pray because it's between bad and worse. We can always pray for the better. Now, when it comes to voting, when you have obviously a choice between bad and worse, I use the comparison of a runaway train. You're on a runaway train, and you can't stop it. But let's say you had the choice of switching the track, and you knew that at the end of one track, that train is going to do less damage than the other track. You evaluated the best you can, and wouldn't you shift the track to the one that's going to do less damage? You're not responsible for the damage it does, because at this point it's out of your control. It's going to be either bad or worse. But in a situation between bad and worse, if you do something to make it less worse, that's not choosing evil. That's choosing to limit evil, and that's a good.
Amen. Well, Father Pavone, thank you for your wisdom. I've told people we may not agree on whether you're going to vote for John Reed or not vote for him, but we can certainly agree that you've got to vote. Everybody has got to vote. There's a write-in candidate, by the way, who probably can't win, but there's also a write-in candidate. But what you can't do is stay home. Like you said, I love that analogy, like saying, well, things are not looking great. I'm just going to quit praying. You keep praying anyway, right?
You
Jesus
sure
says,
do.
Keep praying, don't quit. So thank you, Father Pavone, for all
thank
the work
you.
That you're doing.
It's an honor to be on this call. God bless each and every one of you.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Well, folks, this conference, as you can see, has drawn people from around the country who are really on the front lines. And it looks like we may be able to get Bob McEwen at the very – oh, Matt Staver in 10 minutes. Okay, well, maybe Matt Staver at the very end. So, look, let me just say this. I'm the last person who is going to try to urge or force anybody to try to vote for John Reed because, frankly, based upon where I am right now my mind could change – I don't think it will, but based on where I am right now, I am not going to vote for John Reed. Now, I'm open, though. And by the way, let me just say for everybody so that you know, we've got Matt Staver, the head of Liberty Council. Come on over, Matt. He'll give you a phone. Folks, Matt Staver has been in the forefront of so many major cases that have affected our country and won so many cases at the Supreme Court. I said when I was on my quixotic adventure to run for president, I said if I had my druthers, Matt Staver for Attorney General. but that didn't happen, and he believed God had other things in store for him anyway. But, Matt, thanks for taking a few moments out to join us. You're listening, you're talking to the people from across the country who join us for this call, which you've done before. Tell us why you're here, why this conference is important.
Well, Bishop E.W., it's so good to be with you, and you are doing such an amazing situation here in Virginia and around the country. I would have loved to have been your attorney general, but that wasn't God's timing for me to do that. But we're here in beautiful Virginia at this amazing resort for a pastor's meeting, Liberty Pastors Training Camp. And there are a lot of pastors and people here that it started last night, goes through today, goes again through tomorrow as well. And it is an intense training program for pastors, and clearly Virginia needs to have pastors activated in this upcoming election. Every election, but certainly this upcoming election is critically important for Virginia and the rest of the country.
You know, we've got a big situation here in Virginia with John Reed openly practicing homosexual, having been nominated. And I hear a lot of Christians saying they're disgusted by it. They're disgusted with the Republican Party. They're not going to vote at all. And I've been saying, boy, that is a really, really bad decision to not vote at all because you don't like a particular candidate on the ticket. Well, how would you counsel people in a situation like this?
Well, you know, I think we have to look at the long game, and never are we going to have any candidate that's perfect. we need to build the wall one brick at a time. We can't put the wall up. You know, we can't make the building all at once. We have to do it incrementally. And to do that, you've got to sometimes get a brick and put it in the wall. May not be the run that you particularly like, but, you know, what's your alternative? No brick in the wall? Well, you're going to have somebody else put their brick in the wall, and it's going to be an ideology that's going to be totally in opposition to our values. So you have to, you know, when John McCain, you remember, when he was running, we created a thing called the Freedom Federation, and that was to try to get people to look at core values. What are our core values? And list them out, then list where the different candidates, whatever position they're running for, stand on those primary core values. Life would be certainly one. Religious freedom is another core value.
Marriage
yep. is another core value. So where do they stand on it? And you may not like all the things that that candidate does or believes on certain other things, but if they disqualify on those core values, well, that's a whole problem. But if you have one candidate that more aligns with your core values, you've got to go with that candidate, even though that candidate is certainly imperfect. We're not going to have any perfect candidate on the ballot unless Jesus runs for office, but he's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not running for any elected office at all.
Well, look, you've been a leader in the movement. I'm glad you're here in Virginia, because we need leaders like you to come and encourage us, because right now I've talked to our friends in Arkansas who tell me, well, you know, Arkansas, they used to be in the same position, and we turned it around.
Yeah.
And say, well, Lord, help us somehow to do that in Virginia.
Well, remember when Governor Mike Huckabee was elected to the governor's office? Remember, he was nailed out of the governor's mansion because the Democrats were so mad that they actually took furniture and they nailed door the short. The door to the governor's mansion. So he could not get into the governor's mansion for about a month. He had to rent a RV type of trailer to park it on the governor's mansion's lot and work out of that until they could get into the governor's mansion and ultimately, you know, rebuild and reacquire furniture. That was the transition from that liberal Clinton Democratic machine to a pro-life Christian Governor Mike Huckabee.
Well, that tells us there's hope, doesn't it? I'd forgotten about that, but you're right.
Right, and now his daughter is governor of Arkansas, the first father-daughter governorship in a state in the history of America. And she's doing an amazing job.
Yes, she is.
So that's
she is.
You know, we look at what's going around in Arkansas right now, but we have to go back and look at where it came from. And it came from some really dark days. I mean, this was the home of Bill Clinton, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever forget that. That was the Clinton political machine. Bill and Hillary Clinton ran Arkansas.
Well, boy, we need to hear that. That gives us hope for Virginia. So. Thank you, Matt, for all that you do to serve this country. Thank you for being here in Virginia. But we're going to win. I want to be able to put one in the column for you. Tell you your work here was not in vain, either short term or long term. We're going to take Virginia for George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, our founding fathers.
Absolutely. Well, that's in fact why I'm here, is because of how important this is to Virginia. And organizing and mobilizing pastors is the key to be able to get people to vote biblical values and to change the landscape and to change the elected leadership, not only now, but for generations to come in Virginia.
I said, I don't want the state of George Washington to become the state of Karl Marx. So
that's right.
Thank you, Matt.
That's right. Thank
Keep
you.
Up the good work, brother. God bless you.
God bless. Good to be with you.
All right. Thank you. Well, folks, I think that's going to pretty much do it for today. Thank you, Matt. I want to let you all know that we are in day, let me see, let me get this straight here. You hear the music cranking up. They're getting ready to start again. But we are on day, this is Tuesday, right? I'll get it here in a second. Day 47 of Project 76 Standards on. So please remember, we're asking you for three things: to pray for our country, to pray for Stan. to volunteer. We're looking for people to do volunteering on any level. You can help us start a chapter. We need chapters all over Virginia, to tell you the truth. And then with third, we're asking you to give. You can give $1 a day. That's only $76. Don't forget that on September 17th, we are having our Stand-a-thon marathon. We're going to be on 10 hours that day, making an appeal, giving information, having guests and videos and all kinds of good stuff. So, folks, just make sure that you get ready for that day. I know you won't be able to sit with us all day long, but you can tune in. Make sure that you tune in as often as you can because, look, we are dedicated to saving this country. We're going to get it done. We don't care what it takes. We're going to get it done. So we're just going to keep fighting, keep praying, keep working until the Lord gives us the victory. That last statement by Matt should encourage you all. Arkansas used to be the liberal state of Bill Clinton. It is now the conservative state of Mike Huckabee and his daughter. So, and a bunch of other Christian conservatives. My son just moved to Arkansas. They are loving it. They've got people who represent their values, and that's what we want for Virginia. That's what we want for the entire country. We can't let Virginia become Massachusetts or California or one of these crazy leftist Marxist states that is basically a one-party state where they have absolute power. And the fact that Governor Youngkin had to veto over 300 bills tells you what they have in mind. They have in mind the absolute transformation of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Please pray for us. We cannot let that happen. God bless each and every one of you. You all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.